situation immediately after he was baptized. And our situation today, and I think really if you look back at the past year, we would say, aha, yes. So verse 2, chapter 1 of James, it starts out and it says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." How many people, let's be honest, consider it a joyful thing when you're being tested? How many people are just saying, "Yes, I'm under trial again, and I'm being tested," and how many people embrace that moment? Okay, you're honest. I wouldn't raise my hand. I certainly don't like it. But that's what happens in the world, and that's what happened to Jesus when he was baptized. You notice the word that came after he was baptized and God spoke his words. It says, the Spirit did what? The Spirit, he's being led now. Immediately. So it raises a great point that I think there's this huge misconception, or maybe it's not even a misconception, but it's a desire of when we say, "Yes, Jesus is my Lord and Savior, I'm saved, I'm good, everything is good," we just want that to block out all the world around us and say, "I have no troubles. Life is good. Nothing can take me down. All is good. I'm living on easy street." Now, we know for a fact that that's not true. That's not true. And why is that? I mean, I remember years ago I would get a publication sent to me called The Lutheran. Remember that magazine? Well, in it there was an article written by a lady who said Christians baffle her. And I thought, okay, people baffle me too. But her reasoning was this. She said, if Jesus is the Lord and Savior and all these things that they say he is as they read in Scripture, why then are they so miserable? You ever wonder that? Maybe you fit in that category. I do at times. So why is that? And why in the world did God immediately, the Spirit, lead Jesus out into the wilderness? What is the wilderness? You ever wonder that? I remember when I was a boy and we would go over and see my grandparents in Denmark, and I lived in Chicago, and the plane, in order to go over there, would fly way up north over northern Canada, way up north, and then over Greenland and come down to Copenhagen, Denmark, which is quite a bit north of us. But I remember looking out the airplane down over northern Canada, over the Hudson Bay and way up there, and looking down there seeing no sign of a life. Nothing. Mountains, ice, cold, snow, wilderness. So what does it mean to be out in the wilderness? And you notice, Jesus wasn't alone when he was in the wilderness. Who was there? Who was there? Did he take his...
The devil
was there. What did, remember the show Flip Wilson?
Oh, the devil.
He'd always say, "The devil made me do it," right? Remember that? I remember that, yeah. The devil was there. Oh, we don't want to talk about the devil. You know, we live in a world where everybody's good. We live in a world where evil doesn't exist, unless we define what evil is. No, we live in a world where there's a battle between good and evil. And sometimes it's right in front of us, and sometimes and always it's happening all around us. And you know what? When you take Christ as your Savior and Lord, when you're baptized into His, as one of His own, you now have the scent of Christ on you, and therefore you are a target of the evil one, each and every one of you. So you know what that means? You have no choice but to go out in the world. The Spirit leads us out into the world to do what? To proclaim the gospel. Each and every one of us, to share the good news, to consider it with joy when we face difficult times. And we've all done that. We've all faced these really hard times. But what do you do when you're in that difficult situation? I talked about it the other week. Do you turn inward and depend upon yourself? Because we know from experience what happens when we rely on our own wits. Eventually, it leads to a terrible ending. But when we trust God and we trust His Word, we know from experience, when we've been in under that trial again, that we come out of it on the other end, we know that it can happen again. Why? Because we believe in the word of the Lord. We believe in His steadfast love. I love it in what you read, Kay, when you mentioned, and James said that. He said that, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. Well, steadfast means unwavering as resolution, faith, or adherence. In other words, it's unwavering. You're not going to be deterred. It's hard to do sometimes, especially when Satan is your foe. Because, you know, he doesn't come at you saying, this is who I am. I'm Satan. I'm bad. I'm here to destroy you. No. He comes at you in matters in which you're not expecting. He comes at your weaknesses, not at your strengths. So how do you make yourself stronger? Well, Paul tells us in Ephesians, right? He says, put on the whole armor of God, right? That's how we battle that. But we all, my friends, have to go out into that desert, out into that wilderness. Because why? It makes us stronger. It draws us closer to God. And that is the best place to be. That we can be. Because when you're there, people know it. People know it. And you know what? You know it as well. So when Jesus went out into the God, after he'd been out into the wilderness, what did he do when he came back? It's interesting. He says, now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee. What was he doing? Proclaiming the gospel of God. Proclaiming the gospel of God. We're all tasked to do that. Do we? The world needs it. If you look back over the last 11 months and you say, wow, I'll bet even y'all who are way more experienced than me would never have seen anything like what we've seen over the last 11 months. And how has it affected us today? Are we closer to God? Or are we further apart? Are we closer to our loved ones, our family, or have we been pushed apart? Are we closer to our church brothers and sisters, or have we been pushed apart? Where are we? How do we change it if we are? Well, God's trying to bring us together. And he knows from the past, when he has remained steadfast, he wants us to do the same. He wants it. Because you know what? Then he goes on and he says in there, he says, every perfect gift comes from above. You know, I heard the great philosopher one time when I was at a church, Darrell Waltrip, you know him? He once said, and this is words of wisdom that's true. You can't have a testimony without a test. You ever think of that? That's a true statement. We all have our own testimonies because we've all been tested. Share it with the people. The world needs it. God loves you and so do I. Amen?
Amen.
Number
66.
Joy in our times of trial. Help us to understand
whether it's from the virus or it's from loss of job, loss of income, loss of loved ones. We know there are many people that are very ill and dealing with all kinds of serious issues. But today I want to lift up to you Miss Diane Gall, whose son has been diagnosed with brain cancer. Lord, it must be devastating. I myself can't imagine what it would be like to be a parent and to know that a child, one of my children, is undergoing something so difficult. So Lord God, I pray that you'll be with Diane and her son, Joseph, and comfort them. We pray that you send your healing touch to Joseph. Be with the caregivers, bless them. Give them insight, guide their hands, their actions. But most of all, bring comfort and peace to the family. Lord, have mercy.
Hear our prayers.
Heavenly Father, we look up to you now today, who has been moved into a new form of care, Father. It's just so difficult to deal with loved ones today when they're in hospitals, being isolated from them,